You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hello there, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, September 21st.
Can you believe that action? Wow.
Fall is around the corner.
Fall has fallen.
Yep.
It's very strange because we had above 30 degrees Celsius weather 2 weeks ago. Then last week was kind of too cold for fall. And then this week is warmer again. Very strange.
Well, at least it's not snowing.
That's right. Not yet. That happens next week. Hopefully not.
No, hopefully not.
End of October. Maybe late October, beginning of November.
There's no way to know.
Well, and sometimes it goes till Christmas time.
Yep.
And there's never a flake in sight except for family members.
Yes. And dandruff.
That's right. What do we want to talk about? The Emmy Awards were on this past weekend.
They were.
So do you want to talk a little bit about, because you watched some. What did you see? What caught your attention? What caught your fancy?
Well, I didn't see enough. I would have liked to have seen more. But what do you do? And I'm trying to remember the name. It's not Jane Lynch, is it? Yeah, from
yes.
Glee.
Yep.
She was the host.
Right.
And the opening little montage-y thing was kind of fun, actually.
It
was a little weird-ish. She is talking to the guy from that played the Vulcan on Star Trek. What's his name again?
Leonard Nimoy?
Yeah.
Oh.
The beginning, she's talking to him. And they're
like on the phone? Or
no, they're like in an office. In
okay.
his office. Because he's sitting behind a desk. And then
Lenny's busy lately.
Yeah. And then he stands up and shows her out his window. Or they look out his window. Or it's like there's not a wall there or something. And there's a building across the street. And every set of windows or every like apartment set of windows kind of is a different TV show.
Oh.
And so then the concept from there on is that all of the shows are in the same building. So she goes from set to set, and it's like she's walking from, like, off one set onto the next set.
So is she physically in the set for Modern Family, the set for 30 Rock?
Yeah, except for not those two.
Oh, okay.
But she ends up on the set for, she's on Mad Men for a little bit, and then she's the one that with Sheldon.
Oh, Big Bang Theory.
Yes, that part was quite funny, actually.
Jim Parsons, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Because she says something about how the electricity bill must be enormous in this building because all these shows are in there, and she doesn't understand how they're all related. And Sheldon stands up and says, "Oh, well, I understand it." And he starts drawing a diagram on his little whiteboard. It's like a cube of a tri-cube or something. I don't know. He's trying to explain it to her. But it was kind of funny.
Hmm.
And then she ends up on a different set. And some of them I didn't recognize because I just don't watch enough TV. But it was kind of funny. And then she ends up on the stage at the end. And
so as award show hosts go, what did you think? Was she good?
I think she was very good. Hmm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it seems like the general response to to this year's show was quite good.
Oh yeah, she ends up on the Glee set, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
And ends up at it, but it's like she's there as her character, and then she's also there as herself, and she ends up throwing like a drink on herself.
Oh, weird.
Her character. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I think she did a good job. She's funny, and she's, and at the beginning, Leonard Nimoy is telling her, "I think you'd be the perfect host for the Emmys, because the girls find you manly, and the men find you womanly."
Womanly. That's funny.
Yeah, so.
Let's transition just briefly into Glee. Why have we given up on it? Not that we gave up, did we get bored?
I was tired of her character, actually, being so mean all the time. I found that very irritating. And she always seemed to win.
Yeah.
And I found that annoying.
Hmm.
So, I'm easily annoyed. And then that's the end of it. So, what do you do?
Apparently
other people are annoyed with it now for other reasons. So, I don't know.
Well, the Foo Fighters are annoyed.
Yeah, I heard that.
Foo Fighters are quite annoyed, and they have basically said, screw you, Glee. We're not going to give you our music. We don't have to give you our music. You have no right to assume that we would give you our music. Who do you think you are, basically?
Yeah.
Good for them.
I think some of the backlash has come from comments that one of the, I think he's one of the producers, made that some of the characters, Lea Michele's character and some of the other ones, were going to be graduating, and so then they wouldn't be on the show anymore. And so then they were saying, well, I just found out on Twitter that I'm fired, and then it turned out that he didn't, that's not what he meant, and it was just stupid, and there, that caused a big backlash, and everyone's annoyed at him specifically for that. So
weird.
Yeah,
I guess for me, I found it, it was a kind of a fresh and interesting concept at the beginning, and then by the end of the first season, I kind of went, yeah, I'm done. I don't know.
Well, and it was, I think things were different in the second season, because people were annoyed with the way things were going in the first season, so they changed all that around in the second season, but then they were doing other things that annoyed different people. You just can't win.
People get annoyed. What do you do?
Yep.
People get annoyed. Now we've been talking the last couple of weeks about the fall TV season and how we're looking forward to the return of some of our faves.
Right. And namely, what?
Well,
Hawaii Five-0.
Modern Family, Hawaii Five-0 this week. Not Modern Family this week, but CSI New York. I want to know if they're having Ted Danson on CSI. Is it going to be in a bar where everybody knows your crime?
Allow him a little leeway here.
I am so not interested. And then Person of Interest, the new series, comes out and tests so well that they basically say, CSI, yeah, you're in a really good spot on Thursday, so we're going to move you for that new show.
That in itself may mean the death of it. Because yeah. I think once you start messing with time slots, that's often what kills stuff.
Well, and once your TV show has been on 150 years, there's not much.
Well, and they've already changed the main characters a few times, and that could be the end of
it. I really liked Lawrence Fishburne. I thought he was a really good addition. I thought he injected a lot of...
But you know, a big name like that, I'm not surprised that he's gone after one season.
Yeah.
He probably has other things to do.
Yeah, maybe.
But another thing that could be interesting is there's Fringe is now up against, they've moved it to a Friday night time slot.
Fringe?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And,
I didn't know that.
And it's up against a new show called Grimm, which sounds kind of interesting, based on...
Grimm's Fairy Tales?
Well, no... Sort of, I think it's a nod to that, the main character is a Grimm.
Oh, okay.
Meaning somebody who can see beyond what's really there.
Oh.
And see basically see the fairy tale behind the front.
So in this concept, a Grimm is a kind of person, not someone's
right.
Surname?
Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
And they're descended from each other, so they've been related all along.
And they are related to the Grimm's brothers, supposedly.
Well, they don't
or?
Say that, but I think that's what's
the
hinted
implication.
At. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't remember even hearing about that show. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and those two are both up against another crime. Supernatural.
Oh.
The three of them are now pitted against each other for Friday nights.
Fringe, Supernatural, and
Grimm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Mm, very interesting.
Do we want to talk about who won at the Emmys, or do we want
sure.
to do that later?
Yeah, no, let's dance around a bit. Why don't we talk about that? Leading actress in a comedy series was won by Melissa McCarthy, who plays Molly Finn in Mike and Molly, which we've never seen.
No, we haven't.
We really should see that. But she was up against a crazy, crazy talented group. Laura Linney, Edie Falco, Amy Poehler, Martha Plimpton, and Tina Fey. I mean, how do you beat Tina Fey?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's
And you know what that also tells me? That there's a lot of comedies that we're not watching.
Yes.
And that in fact, none of them.
And that we should be, or because
I don't know. I know Parks and Recreation is supposed to be really good.
Yeah, and we've never checked it out. Really, this is not a surprise at all. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series this year went to Jim Parsons.
And he was against Matt LeBlanc. And how behind am I that I didn't even know Matt LeBlanc was on anything right now?
Dr. Sheldon Cooper. And another very talented group. Matt LeBlanc, Jim Parsons, Steve Carell, Johnny Galecki, also from Big Bang Theory, Louis C.K. from his TV show Louis, and Alec Baldwin from 30 Rock. So also a very talented, talented group of comic actors. Let's see, supporting actress in a comedy series. Do you want to talk
about
that?
That one went to Julie Bowen from Modern Family.
Yay, love Julie Bowen.
And it's interesting that she got it because she was also up against Sofia Vergara from the same show.
Yeah.
And Betty White and Jane Lynch from Glee.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live and Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock. So again, stiff competition.
Isn't it Kristen Wiig?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Jane Krakowski.
I could be completely wrong in my pronunciation.
Supporting actor in a comedy series.
Interestingly enough, the winner is her on-screen husband. And it was interesting because in her acceptance speech, she thanked him.
Oh, really?
And she won first, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And I didn't see his acceptance speech, but it was interesting that she thanked him and then he won.
They're just an amazing team. Just an amazing duo. They're probably almost the best part about that show, that family unit.
Julianna Margulies announced this category, and it was kind of funny because she was noting that four of the nominees were from Modern Family.
Wow.
She said, so if one of them wins tonight, it's going to be an awkward set.
Cute.
And, of course, somebody did, but...
So John Cryer, Chris Colfer from Glee, Ed O'Neill, as Michelle mentioned, Ed O'Neill also from Modern Family, Eric Stonestreet also from Modern Family, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, also from Modern Family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Modern Family cleaned up a little bit.
Okay, best comedy series went to...
Modern Family.
Modern Family. And they were up against, no big surprise, Big Bang Theory, 30 Rock, The Office, and Parks and Recreation.
Which we really should maybe see.
Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Okay, lead actress in a drama series went to...
Julianna Margulies won that one.
Yes.
For The Good Wife.
And she was up against Kathy Bates, Mireille Enos?
I don't know.
Maybe
how
from The Killing, which we also haven't watched. I keep meaning to get into that. It's very highly rated. Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order Special Victims Unit, Connie Britton from Friday Night Lights, and Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men.
And I believe Friday Night Lights has been canceled.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, interesting.
Okay, and go ahead.
Winner for lead actor in a drama series went to Kyle Chandler.
Friday Night Lights.
His character as Eric Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got John Hamm from Mad Men, Hugh Laurie, of course, from House, Michael C. Hall, of course, from Dexter, and Steve Buscemi from Boardwalk Empire.
Again... These, you know, when you think about the caliber of actor that's on TV these days, it's a little different than it used to be.
Yeah.
Getting a lot more, talented film stars on there, and that really ups the stakes a little, I would think.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
Okay. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series, Kelly MacDonald from Boardwalk Empire. I believe Kelly's Scottish. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men. Christina Hendricks played Nathan Fillion's, this girl who hit on him in Firefly. She was very good. Michelle Forbes from The Killing. Michelle Forbes was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. She played Anson Roe. So I didn't know she was in The Killing. Crazy. Archie Panjabi and The Good Wife. Margot Martindale from Justified. And Christine Baranski, also from The Good Wife. Christine Baranski.
And did you say who won?
Did I?
I don't think you did. All right, so the winner in that category was Margot Martindale from Justified,
and
which I've never
heard of.
I don't
know Justified, and I don't know Margot. So
neither do I.
There you go. Supporting actor in a drama series. And the nominees were John Slattery from Mad Men, Andre Brower from Men of a Certain Age, Walton Goggins from Justified, Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones, Josh Charles from The Good Wife, and Alan Cumming, also from The Good Wife. And the award went to Peter Dinklage. I think he was kind of blown away by that. But he is amazing in Game of Thrones. Amazing.
Yeah. It's, you know, really that's an unfortunate name for a little person, but anyway.
Is it? Why? It's an unfortunate name for anyone, my dear.
Well, it is, but, you know, like, you're a dinky.
Oh, I guess. I don't know.
Meaning small.
I was thinking more of the anatomical reference.
Well, yeah.
Best drama series, Boardwalk Empire, The Good Wife, Mad Men, Friday Night Lights, Dexter, and Game of Thrones. And it went to
Mad Men.
Mad Men, which we also haven't seen. This is all about, the Emmys are all about what we haven't seen. It's kind of what the Oscars are like sometimes, too.
Yeah.
Outstanding lead actress in a miniseries or movie, Kate Winslet, Elizabeth McGovern, Diane Lane, Taraji Henson, and Jean Marsh. And it went to Kate Winslet.
Yeah, Kate.
As Mildred Pierce in, ironically,
that Elizabeth
Mildred
picture
Pierce.
Of, that picture of Elizabeth McGovern makes her look like
Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Actually does, you're right.
All right, let's finish it off right here with this one. Lead actor in a miniseries or movie. The nominees were Greg Kinnear, Barry Pepper, Edgar Ramirez, William Hurt, Idris Elba, and Lawrence Fishburne. And the winner was
Barry Pepper
as Bobby Kennedy.
Good old Barry.
We could do, at some point we have to stop because we can't
go on forever. Yeah.
Those were the main ones.
And for everyone who saw the Emmys, sorry. So,
yeah.
There you go. So speaking of some of the new shows, we checked out a few for you and for us, but partly for you. One that kind of slipped under the radar that started in July, so just started about a month and a half ago, was Alphas. It's a sci-fi series, not science fiction, but sci-fi, well, science fiction as well, but from the Sci-Fi Channel. The series follows five people known as Alphas who are led by neurologist and psychologist Dr. Lee Rosen. They investigate crimes and mainly crimes committed by other people who have powers. So these are all, yes, it smells like Heroes, but it's quite different. It's got a very weird flavor to it. You liked it a lot, I think. And I liked it less so.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why.
Well, I didn't like it at first for the same reason that you didn't like it. It was noisy and a little chaotic at first.
Yeah.
The characters were kind of at odds with each other, and I think that was on purpose because they're supposed to be working as a team, but they're all really, in to most people, they would come across as special.
Well, and they're not they are not lowercase heroes. They're not these are not people that you put a mask on and they would go out and save the world. These are average flawed human beings who just happen to have something weird that they're able to use in this group to use their powers for good.
And it doesn't necessarily make them cool or, like, the one guy just comes across as autistic and
he does seem to have a slight autism.
And the kind of the point of it all is that this doctor is helping them because all of their gifts come with a downside. He is helping them learn to cope with those sort of downsides.
Control their abilities.
So by the end of the first episode, they seemed to have gotten past the noise a little bit, and it was more coming across like a team effort. And I think, I'm sure, that will only develop as they continue on in the season. So I'm more than willing to give it another, to keep going with that one.
There were rumors that the show was canceled, but on September 7th, Alphas was renewed for a 13-episode second season. So first season was only 9 episodes, presumably because it was a summer, seems like it was a summer replacement of sorts. Great cast, David Strathairn's in it, great Canadian actor Callum Keith Rennie is in it. He was in Harper's Island, that miniseries from last summer, 2 summers ago.
Right, yeah.
Originally, this series was known as Section 8, and it was developed by Zach Penn and co-creator Michael Carno in 2006. They shopped it around. There was some interest from a few of the networks, and ultimately, the Writers Guild strike in 2007-2008 really hurt the chances of the show. So it seems like it got shelved for a bit. Then interest came on from actors who wanted to be in it. And then it just built and built and built from there. The pilot episode was shot in Toronto, Canada. So cool. There. So it was picked up by Sci-Fi, and Ira Stephen Bear, who is a veteran Sci-Fi producer, he's executive producer and showrunner on the series. So there you go.
Yeah, if you're in,
it's quirky.
It is. It's a little quirky, but it's kind of fun. If you know, if you're tired of seeing perfect people on TV, this is a good antidote.
I'm still not really convinced that this isn't a total revisit of Heroes, and Heroes was better.
No, because in Heroes they were all the cool kids. These are not the cool kids.
No, they weren't the cool kids. There was the cop who couldn't make detective. There was the single mom.
Oh yeah,
who,
I guess
see,
so.
They're all flawed. So I'm reserving judgment a little bit, but there it is.
See, I Elvis. Never really bought Eros for whatever reason, so...
Did you just say Eros and with a silent H?
I might have.
You did. You're not even French. another series that's really caught my attention, partly because of all the billboards around town, is Terra Nova. Very interested in that.
And I'm a little skeptical about this one.
See, Jurassic Planet is probably what you're thinking. The show is set in the year 2149. We've messed up our planet. Ooh, weird. A little bit of foreshadowing, perhaps. Scientists develop a time machine that allow people to travel back into prehistoric Earth times. I don't know what they're trying to do. Maybe we'll find out.
Well, I got the feeling from the what little we've seen that or heard that it's they're not telling something. Something's going on there that they haven't fully disclosed.
Well, I think the predatory dinosaurs, carnivorous dinosaurs, is probably
maybe
not
that's
a good
all
thing.
It is.
The series Bran and Braga from Star Trek fame. Next Generation and so on, is showrunner for it. Originally, it was chose. They were talking about shooting it in, holding it all in Hawaii. And Spielberg, who is one of the producers, he's the executive producer, I guess. He said, "Nah, that's where Jurassic Park was. Let's not do this. Let's get a totally different look." So they ended up shooting in Australia, so Queensland, Brisbane, Gold Coast. All over the place, all over Australia. More than 250 sets were constructed. But there's and basically an 8 or 9 day shoot schedule for each episode. But the difference is then there's 6 weeks of post-production.
Right.
So I guess when they shot the pilot, they had problems with rain. They had to shoot additional material in 2011. So that, you know, it went way over budget. What they're saying is the average episodic budget of this series is going to be about $4 million. And everybody's going, holy crap.
Like, this and then is, if it dies, it was
TV.
All for nothing, right?
Well, and the really unfortunate part is if it dies, everybody's going to say, well, it was just too expensive.
Well,
it was
no.
too ambitious.
They could just say it's bad.
Yeah, I don't know. June 2011, Terra Nova was one of 8 honorees in the Most Exciting New Series category of the Critics' Choice TV Awards, voted by journalists who had seen the pilot.
Huh.
So,
well, maybe
I'm
there's more hope for it than I'm giving it.
I'm
I don't know. It just seems, I don't know.
Too gimmicky?
Yeah. But I will probably end up seeing a little bit of it anyway.
You probably will.
Maybe it'll be okay.
As long as you're married to me. I don't know if I'm going to... I guess you might as well talk about this one because I talked about Terra Nova more.
The Secret Circle.
Yeah.
Basically, it's about teenage witches, which hasn't been at all overdone. The premise is that this girl loses her mom in a fire, and she ends up moving to live with her grandmother, and becomes part of this whole plot, subplot, powerful circle of kids, and I found it very manipulative, which irritated me.
You felt like you were being led down a path, and
No, the characters were all manipulating each other.
Oh.
And I hate that. There's the bad adults who are trying to orchestrate things, and there's the bad kids who are not following what the good kids want to do, and so, I don't know, it just irritates me. I think I'm probably the wrong target audience.
Well, it's,
although you seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. Just dorky that way, I guess. What do I like about it? I don't know. I just like powers and stuff, like superheroes, and I don't know. It's a CW show, so
yeah,
it does very much feel like the OC with spells.
Yeah.
So
it's
I'm
the wrong market for it. You would probably be interested for a few more, and then I have a feeling you'd fall out of it too. But
yeah, I'll have to see where they go with it. The pilot was generally met with, well, you know, I read that it was really well received. Like, it had quite a solid audience. It just premiered last week, by the way. Metacritic's given it a score of 55 out of 100 based on 20 critics, so that's not great. Lloyd Roberts from the LA Times thought the plot was splendidly rendered, effective in the expected ways in a way... What? This is a weird quote. Effective in the expected ways in a way that makes you forget you expected them.
Okay.
So it's cliched and hackneyed without you realizing it is? I don't know. he also wrote that director Liz Friedlander aimed not just for creepiness, but for a tremulous sense of beauty that reflects the heightened sensibilities and hair trigger sensitivities of adolescence. Huh?
You mean adolescent witches?
I guess. I guess.
I don't know. It's a little odd.
Yeah, it is. I'm not sure. It's shot in and around Vancouver, the lower mainland of British Columbia. So it's funny because the pilot started, and I said to Michelle, meanwhile, somewhere in the lower mainland. And that's,
yeah, well, it's supposed to take place in Washington, which is
Washington, and
basically across the border. So one is the same as the other.
Who
basically
really caught my eye is the main actress, Brittany Leanna Robertson. I'm just trying to see, you know, I'm looking at other stuff, and she was in Scream 4. She was in The Tenth Circle, Life, and none of this stuff I've seen. So she's good. I thought she was really solid.
She is. And I think that's part of what irritated me, is I really liked her and I really liked her character.
Yeah.
And so it annoyed me that she was the one being manipulated by
everybody.
Oh, she
was in Swingtown as well. Sorry, by the way.
Oh.
She was in 13 episodes of Swingtown. But she's good. She's really good. 21-year-old actress.
Yes. She was good. I did like her. But I just, I don't know.
The show is not for you.
No. And I think I'm tired of all this supernatural stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like
those Winchester
the occultish
boys.
Kind of stuff.
Well, you
like
know what?
The superhero stuff, because I didn't watch Heroes. I'm not tired of that yet.
Yeah.
But there's so much on TV right now. There's so many vampire shows and supernatural shows, and I don't know.
Yeah. I blame the Winchester boys. See, Supernatural,
well, I never watched that,
Supernatural
though.
Is still a great series. Still a great series. It's done what The X-Files and a few other shows have done. It's bogged down in its own mythology a little bit here and there. But the original concept of Supernatural was like a urban legend of the week, monster of the week, kind of. That was how it was pitched.
Right.
And I think that's where it works best.
Yeah.
I think some of the broader strokes they've gotten into haven't been really great.
Again, irritating. Chased by a demon and blah, bitty, blah. Is that all we've watched so far for new stuff?
It is. We're looking forward to seeing what role Terry O'Quinn is going to have in Hawaii Five-0. They're bringing him in as a recurring character, which is nice because it means he probably was able to keep his house in Hawaii and just get another gig.
Yeah, probably.
So he was just recently in another pilot that didn't go well, so... But it's not too long between Lost and now he's could be on Hawaii Five-0. I hope they just... They don't ruin the chemistry that took a season to really get going. Because that's what happened with Human Target. Human Target was really solid on its own, and then they mucked with the formula, and it tanked the show.
Yeah.
So... But Terry O'Quinn is a great actor. You know, he's fantastic in Lost. Emmy to prove it. Yes.
This, I think the way they've introduced him kind of makes sense because of the way the last season ended.
Yes. They need somebody to come in and help them out of this giant mess they wound up in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas in, I mean, really there wasn't a mess to be gotten out of in the one that you were just talking
about. Lost.
Nope. With the guy we like in it.
As opposed to the one with the guy we don't like in it, which I can't remember.
You were just talking about it a minute ago and how they ruined
Human
it.
Oh, Human Target.
Yes.
Human Target.
Yeah. You know, in Human Target, there was no mess to be gotten out of. There was no reason to add extra characters or change stuff around. And so it wasn't believable. It was just irritating.
Yeah, it was all of a sudden... Wow, this is a totally different show. Nope, you lost me. I'm out. Sorry.
It was too bad. I mean, it wasn't... It still could have continued. It wasn't as good as the first season, but it's still... It's too bad it was canceled, because I think it still had places to go. But
yes,
anyway.
It did. Well, that's been View from the Couch for Wednesday, September the...
21st.
That's been View from the Couch for Wednesday, September 21st. Thanks for hanging out with us for the last, what is it, half an hour or so?
Yep.
Enjoy your shows coming back. Check out some of the new ones. We'll continue to have a look at some of these new shows that are debuting and kind of give you our take on them. And we'll look at some other things that have been coming out lately. But thanks for tuning in as always. We appreciate it. And we will catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.